Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
It is Monday, the 19th of August at 6:32. Coming up in today's show, we'll be talking about getting more women to invest in startups, and we'll be looking at taxes on fuels and all the markets as usual at the start of another week. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main international business stories in the newspapers with the insuperable company of Russ Mould, Director of Research at AJ Bell. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, CJ. Good weekend.
I had a lovely weekend. I was at Stiff Little Fingers on Friday and AC/DC, no less, on Saturday.
There you go. That's a busy one, if ever there was one. Let's trust you're suitably thunderstruck.
Yes, I am thunderstruck. And it was a whole lot of singing, miming in my case, because my voice was so weak. But was your weekend nice?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Pretty nice, quite warm. Went to go and watch the Mighty Lewis Football Club play. I've got a season ticket at our local non-league team here down in Sussex. So.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Hope you get good weather. Now, let us start with someone who we rarely talk about, called Elon Musk, and what's happening between X and Brazil.
So this is a row over censorship. Now, we all know that Mr. Musk claims himself that he's a diehard champion of free speech. And he and his company X, that he bought for $44 billion a few years back, are now getting in a very bitter argument with the Brazilian Supreme Court, accusing a senior judge, Mr. de Moraes, of putting through, quote, a secret order to close some accounts, and that if individuals at X don't comply, they'll be fined or imprisoned. X is saying it's defending both its staff and free speech. There's also a potential political angle to this, a suggestion that the accounts that Mr. de Moraes has requested be closed are, quote, those of right-wing people, and he's been seen by some as Brazil as having a left-wing bias. Others see him as a champion of democracy and a freedom and a supporter of free speech. So another tussle, but the net outcome at the moment is Mr. Musk and X are threatening to shut down their Brazilian operation, although I believe no sign of that just yet.
It's interesting how it's getting very political in individual member states. Of course, last week he had a big row with the European Commissioner responsible for digital, which is not always that wise. And the week before, he was saying provocative stuff, let's say, on X during the UK riots.
Yeah, he put a few noses out of joint over here as well, though he does seem to specialise in that and doesn't seem to care desperately much. I mean, I've had quite a lot of questions ongoing about corporate governance across Tesla and Mr. Musk's business empire. And, you know, as a shareholder, you're not a shareholder in Twitter, but you could be in Tesla. And, you know, what you have to say is normally as a shareholder, you can either embrace what you're going to get, or you can stay as a shareholder and try and influence what you see if you don't like it, or you can walk away and just sell. Clearly with Mr. Musk, he isn't going to change at all. So you either have to embrace him for what he is, or just say, this isn't my style, thank you very much, sell your shares and move on. And that's a matter of personal choice, not just one of dollars and cents, nickels and dimes necessarily.
Now, let's stay with technology. The FT is a story about data centers gobbling up water for cooling purposes.
Yeah, they've done a freedom of information request in the state of Virginia for six different counties. So they've done an awful lot of digging here. And we're all fairly familiar with the story that our concerns over electricity demand for Bitcoin mining, for data servers and artificial intelligence and running the servers that power those large language models. This is looking at Data Center Alley in the state of Virginia, as you say. You've got Google there, Microsoft, Amazon, all of these tech giants. And the FT's study, research, and the data that's been provided suggests that water consumption's jumped by two-thirds in the past 2 or 3 years, and that also these data centers are gobbling up land as well. And Bank of America and the American Investment Bank even suggest that data centers are the 10th biggest consumers of water in the United States. And we know that, you know, owing to perhaps to global warming and global climate change, a lot of parts of America are now water stressed. And actually, quite a few of these data centers are based in those areas. So another infrastructure challenge as we all await for data center usage to go exponential thanks to AI, not just electricity, but possibly water now is a precious commodity as well.
Yeah, data centers are huge here in Ireland for obvious reasons because of all these companies are based here. And their consumption of energy is also a political issue here. Yeah. But we won't get into whether they consume too much water because we get a fair bit of it from the sky in this country. Now, Vice President Kamala Harris she unveiled her economic policies on Friday. Of course, she has her huge Democratic National Convention this week. Did you get time to pore over any of her economic policies over the weekend?
I've had a good look, and I don't think they've all been released. I think there's people expecting maybe to be a few more policies are unveiled in Chicago this week. But some of the big headline ones, the one on not taxing of tips had been well trailered because that was initially something that a competitor Donald Trump put forward, and President Harris Vice President Harris has embraced that one.
That's because they want Vegas. They want Nevada. It's such a swing state.
Huge swing state. And so other issues that Vice President Harris has latched onto is housing. She's offering tax credits to new home buyers, state guaranteed deposits to new home buyers whose parents themselves don't own a home, and also a big new restoration of a child tax credit and an additional new child tax credit, also caps on rents, and also a political one, or a tricky one, put it this way, to quantify, promising to, quote, tackle price gouging on groceries. Now, how you measure that and how you decide whether somebody's just covering their costs or price gouging, I will leave to the VP for now. But if you quickly add up, say, what the cost of the child tax credits could be, or the housing deposits in housing credit, you're looking at about $350 billion if everybody goes for it. So, you know, this comes back probably to what David Einhorn, the famous hedge fund manager who was featured in that Big Short about the great film about the great financial crisis, mm-hmm. he's saying he's not bothered about who wins the election, Trump or Harris. He thinks whatever policies come in are likely to be inflationary. What she hasn't talked about yet is extending tariffs on trade, so we'll find out more about that. And on fracking, she's been vigorously opposed to it so far, as has the Biden administration. But fracking is big in the state of Pennsylvania, a huge swing state. So we'll see whether there's any refinement of Vice President Harris's policy there in the coming week. It is possible. She hasn't been quite as vigorous on the issue as fracking as she'd been previously in the production of oil there.
Yeah. You lose Pennsylvania, you will lose the election. It's as simple as that. I suspect she will be quieter on the issue of fracking. Now, 2 weeks ago, there was a mini crash. But since then, the stock market's had a mini boom.
The American S&P 500 index is now up for the month of August. And last week, it actually had its best week of the year with a 4% gain. So this, again, comes back to the issue that we discussed at the time. Was that wobble just a summer squall because everybody was on the beach, there was no liquidity? Or was it the start of a bigger shift in sentiment after a monumental bull run? The honest truth, of course, is that nobody really knows. But at the moment, at least, the buy on the dip sentiment or strategy that's worked so incredibly well really since 2009 continues to work. I guess the big issue is, you know, markets worried about the yen, they worried about recession. People are still arguing over what caused the 1987 Black Monday crash. So people mm-hmm. continue to argue about what caused this summer stumble for a long time to come. The issue really is, will the US slow down? Will it tip into recession? And if that's the case, then that is the one thing that stock markets are not expecting under any circumstances. And they're hoping at the very least, if things slow down, the US Federal Reserve will step in and ride to the rescue as it has every time since 1998, effectively.
Now, talking of the US Federal Reserve, are you going to Jackson Hole this weekend?
I don't think I'd watch this conference take place if it was happening in my back garden, actually. I suppose I'll keep an eye on it. Some people will hang on every word. Some people view it as a prolix talking shop that's of the benefit to the Wyoming Tourist Board. I'm probably slightly in the latter camp. Mm. But because of my job, I have to pay attention. And so that's that. We've got the World Central Bankers gathering in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, for their annual policy symposium. And what financial markets are looking for, as we've just discussed, is any hints from how quickly central banks will continue to cut interest rates, at least in the West, at a time when the Bank of Japan is still looking to raise them. And we've had over 100 rate cuts this year already worldwide. That's more than the last 2 years combined. And it's really all eyes on hints for the September the 18th, as far as the Fed concerned, where the only debate in markets is whether you get a quarter point cut or a half point cut. And both the Bank of England and the Fed expected to have cut another two or three times by Christmas, trying to stimulate the economy while at the same time, hopefully not overdoing it on the other side and letting the inflation genie back out of the bottle after, you could argue, they've maybe started to cram it back in again.
All right, Russ, have a wonderful week. Thanks so much for your time and expertise. That's Russ Mould, Director of Research at AJ Bell.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.